Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, our roundtable podcast about what we're watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I am here in the studio with friend of the show, librarian, and I like to say our target demographic, Margaret H. Willison. Hi, Margaret.
Hi, Linda.
Well, Margaret is visiting us here in D.C. from Boston, and one of the things that we wanted to talk to Margaret about was the art of the audiobook, which if you've been listening to the show, I've been yammering on about a couple of different audiobooks. How often do you listen to audiobooks?
Oh boy, I listen to audiobooks a lot. I listen to audiobooks while I do housework. I listen to audiobooks when I fall asleep at night. I listen to audiobooks anytime I have desk time at work.
Sure.
I tend to go back and forth between audiobook binges and then catching up on all the podcasts I've neglected during my audiobook binges.
Right. How do you deal with the problem of when I listen to audiobooks as I'm falling asleep at night, then you got to figure out when did I start only hearing half of it? When did I start hearing none of it? Then you got to kind of scan backwards a little bit.
Well, this is one of my quirks as an audiobook listener is that I almost exclusively use it to reread books I've already read.
Oh, that makes sense.
That way, because I'll tune out, you know, every third word, and inside a 45-minute podcast, it's not as much of a problem,
right.
But when I'm listening to something for hours at a time,
yeah.
It can be. And this is really good for me because I get, you know, Protestant guilt about like rereading like children's books I really liked as a
kid,
despite the fact that they bring me great pleasure. And this way, it's like not actively conflicting with my active reading time.
That is a very good plan. I've never really used audiobooks that way.
Yeah,
I might have to try it.
So I highly recommend it.
What kinds of stuff are you listening to right now or recently?
I'm listening to the Aziz Ansari book, Modern Romance, which you specifically recommended in audiobook format.
I did.
Both to me and the universe at large.
Exactly.
Which is one of the rare categories where I will listen to, I call it native audio.
Sure.
If it's a comedian or actor I really like and it's their memoir, I will always opt for audio for my first experience of that book over reading it in print.
Yeah. It was really interesting because I read one review of Aziz Ansari's book that sort of said like, well, it's okay, but he's so funny, and the book is, you know, the book is like a lot of information and facts, and I kind of didn't feel like I really got like enough comedy, and it's just kind of like, it's not that special that it's by him. And I thought, I think if you listen to the audiobook, it is. I think if you listen to the audiobook, you get more of him. So if that's one of the reasons you're listening to the book, you get a little bit more.
And I think I had the same experience. There were similar complaints about Yes, Please by Amy Poehler, where I think if I had read that as a book, I would have been like, this feels a little slapdash.
Yeah.
Like her editor was maybe she was on a shorter deadline than she realized.
Well, and she does talk a lot about not enjoying the writing process.
She does, which it was one of the few things I was like, Amy, I love you so much, but just turn that down a little bit.
I agree.
But in the audiobook production, she gets so many different voices in.
Right.
And it's just, I have a different experience of it. It's less like, oh, I'm reading this book. Is it stacking up to my other reading experiences? And it's more like, I'm spending some time with my friend Amy.
Right. And Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, is a very good audiobook as well.
Yeah. Although also, I find that book to be more tightly written than the other two that we're talking about.
I agree with you. I think that's probably right.
But the vocal performance just completely takes it over the top. It's so good.
Yeah. I tend not to use it the same way that you do. I really do tend to use it as a way to read books that I don't have time to read because I have a fairly long commute, and I think audiobooks are particularly beloved by people who have long commutes. So, for example, right now I am listening to The Martian by Andy Weir, which is narrated by R.C. Bray, and it is essentially the journal of an astronaut who gets stranded on Mars, and they're about to put out the movie with Matt Damon, which is sort of how I got into thinking about I should read that book. And so it's a particularly, I think, well-suited book for audio because it's in that journal tale-telling format. It's like if at the end of the day he talked into a tape recorder instead of just writing in a journal. So I've been enjoying that one a lot, but I have used it, gosh, over the course of the time I've been buying audiobooks, because I've been buying audiobooks since like 2004. Like I was a reasonably early adapter of kind of the current form of listening to audiobooks.
You're talking about target audience. I fell for that Audible underwriting all of my podcast thing real quick.
Right. I mean, I've used it for a lot of like you say, humor memoirists. I had several David Sedaris. David Sedaris was one of the first things I bought.
He's, I think, a lot of people's gateway drug to audiobooks.
To audiobooks, yeah.
He's, again, great vocal performer.
Yeah. I also have used it just to read a lot of novels, particularly if I can find a really good narrator. One of the ones that I always go on and on about, and I talk talk to people about how much I love audiobooks is Richard Price's Lush Life, which was read in the audiobook by Bobby Cannavale, the actor. I brought a clip of it because it's just so awesome.
At the corner of Houston and Christie, a cherry red Denali pulls up alongside them. Three overdressed women in the back seat, the driver alone up front and wearing sunglasses. The passenger side window glides down. "Officers, where the Howard Johnson Hotel at around here?" "Straight ahead, three blocks on the far corner," Lugo offers. "Thank you." "What's with the midnight shades?" Daly asks from the shotgun seat, leaning forward past Lugo to make eye contact. "I got photosensitivity," the guy answers, tapping his frames.
Listening to that for hours is so fun to me. And then there are just a gazillion other voices in that book because there are so many characters and,
right.
and people from New York.
This is like a matched but quite different experience. It's Dan Stevens, the actor from Downton Abbey, is an amazing audiobook narrator. And I recently listened to his rendition of Murder on the Orient Express.
Oh, wow.
And again, it's that same thing. It's the different voices, but it's an effortlessness. He switches between the two of them and it doesn't feel labored.
We'll hear a little bit of that, too.
A cold wind came whistling down the platform. Both men shivered. Lieutenant Dubosc managed to cast a surreptitious glance at his watch. 5 minutes to five, only 5 minutes more. Fancying that the other man had noticed his surreptitious glance, he hastened once more into speech. "There are few people travelling this time of year," he said, glancing up at the windows of the sleeping car above them. "That is so," agreed Monsieur Poirot.
So that's Dan Stevens, Murder on the Orient Express.
And I mean, that book is particularly challenging for an audiobook narrator because it has female Americans, old female Americans,
right.
French people, Russian countesses, and it's also basically just monologues. It's characters just giving their account of a crime over yeah. and over and over again.
Lush Life is like that, too. It's old yeah. people, young people, black people, white people, Puerto Rican kids,
right.
old black women.
So it just
women.
Depends on the kind of diversity you want.
Yeah. No, it's the same, I think, kind of challenge, though.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I sometimes find is that there are matches of narrator and author where when they get into that groove, you keep wanting to hear that narrator do that author.
Mm-hmm.
There's a narrator named Anna Fields, who sadly has passed away, but who did a bunch of romance novels by a woman named Susan Elizabeth Phillips. And there's a whole just bunch of these really charming romances about this football team. And I listened to almost all of them as audiobooks, and they're just really terrific. And I wish there were more of them to listen to now from that combination of people. The other one is a woman named Allie Larkin, who has written a couple of extremely charming books. They're romantic, but they're not genre romance to me. They're kind of contemplative fiction in a way. You've read these.
I read Stay. I haven't read the other.
And Allie Larkin, both of her books, Stay and then one called Why Can't I Be You, are read by an actress named Julia Whalen, who I knew on the show Once and Again, this family show uh-huh. that ran for a relatively short time. Cela Ward was on it and Billy Campbell was on it. And
sure.
Julia Whalen, who played the teenage daughter. And she's a terrific narrator. And the way that she kind of connects with the voice in which Allie Larkin writes and the voice in which she writes these characters has been really successful to me. And I always enjoy listening to that. I brought a clip of that as well.
The wedding was perfect, except for two things. The satin bridesmaids' gowns that were ordered in deep, rich cinnamon showed up 2 days before the wedding and were bright Halloween pumpkin. And instead of standing across from the groom, beaming, I was standing across from his first cousin, Norman, smiling a hollow smile like a jack-o'-lantern. That and I probably wouldn't have gone with brown roses. I tried to talk Janie out of them.
That's another one where I really like the match of narrator and writer.
Well, that's great because I've been meaning to reread Stay and now I have a perfect
oh, yes.
medium for it.
Absolutely. Get the audiobook. It's terrific.
Yeah.
I really like it a lot. I like it a lot. How do you find that the reading experience is different with audiobooks than reading in print?
So one of the reasons that I rarely do first reads via audio is because I feel like I'll lose every maybe fourth sentence if I'm not really focused in. I think
right.
if you're driving, it's not as much of a problem because
right.
you have that very contained environment. But
mm-hmm.
for me, it's like I'm processing tickets and stuff at work.
I was going to say, if you're doing anything else at the same time.
Right, exactly. So that's one of the main differences. And I also find I have a very good memory for things that I've read. I'll get quotes that can just stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't have quite the same experience with audio. However, I can listen to a good audiobook over and over and over again.
Interesting.
There is a 25-hour recording of a Victorian novel I'm really fond of called Wives and Daughters by Elizabeth Gaskell, and it's narrated by a British sitcom actress, Prunella Scales. And I mean, 25-hour audiobook, like, that's a substantial investment. Probably listened to that 4 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Because you just get into a place, and I love revisiting these characters, and she does such an excellent job of bringing all of the different things to life, and it's such a compassionate reading. When you find the right thing, it's just as satisfying as watching a movie. It's just as engulfing.
Yeah. I mean, good audiobook narrators are performing, they're acting.
Oh, yeah.
And they're I think in the clips that we've heard, you can see some of that. But you're right that the audiobook experience is kind of forced linear, right? You can't skip around.
Yep.
You can't skip back. And I agree with you that it sometimes happens, like everybody's had the experience while reading a book on paper, of you realize you've been looking at the same passage without going anywhere for the last 5 minutes because mm-hmm. your mind is wandering and you just haven't turned the page. In the audiobook, it will go on without you. And all of a sudden, you'll realize, oh, I've missed a couple few minutes.
Yeah.
So it is forced linear in that way. It's also forced linear as to speed. You read at a certain speed, no slower and no faster. And I remember reading a very, very heavy historical book, mm-hmm. nonfiction, gigantic history. And I remember thinking, like, you know, I wouldn't think that I would skim, mm-hmm. but in this book, I know for a fact that I would skim. And if I can't skim, I just can't get anywhere in this book if I can't skim a little bit.
And it's funny because nonfiction in podcasts is ideal. I mean, it's an ideal nonfiction delivery system for me. But a nonfiction book by audio, I don't think I could do it unless it's Sarah Vowell.
Yeah, there are some very good ones, but I agree with you that it's a lot tougher.
Well, we could probably talk about this for like an hour.
We could, but we shan't. We will get back to the other things that we must be doing. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at iTunes or at your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you so much for having me, Linda.